Today, we're at Big Leaf Wholesale Nurseries at North Arm on the Sunshine Coast. Big Leaf Wholesale Nurseries is jointly owned by Kieran Studders and Greg and Jackie Philpott. They have a staff of 10, and today we'll be talking to Kieran about the production side of the business and the improvements that they've made to water use efficiency and how they went about moving the nursery from one site to another. Hello, Kieran, and thanks for talking to us today.
Hello, Lex. Thanks for having me.
When it came to upgrading the sprinklers, how did you go about choosing the appropriate sprinkler for what you wanted to do in that particular area?
There were a few factors that we considered. One we considered was the use of previous sprinklers we were using at the first site, and we'd found a couple of varieties of sprinklers were what we considered very efficient. We stuck with those styles of sprinklers, and part of the reason was it meant as we wound down the old site, there was quite a lot of infrastructure there we could pull apart and bring over to the new site. We were using the same components, and it also worked as spare parts, so it was one way of being a bit more cost efficient as well. The other thing we had to consider for what sprinklers we would use in what areas was the fact we were retrofitting existing structures. The layout of the sprinkler design and the intervals between sprinkler heads was sometimes not able to be put at the optimum spacing. So we had to pick sprinklers that had a bit of variation with the distances they could be set apart that could still provide an efficient watering system and delivering a nice even coverage. They were the main factors involved in it. Had we built this nursery from scratch, we definitely would have built the structures different to what they are, and the distances between posts and the heights of the side walls and the roofs would have been much different to what they are.
In the process of building up the stock levels on the new site and when you finally wound down the old site, in that process, did you bring any of the stock from the first site and put it onto the second site?
We did. So things we had to be careful about there was weed management primarily, as well as pathogens that might come from different products as well. The beauty was coming to the new site was sometimes it was stock that we could propagate from, so we could break it apart and clean it all up at the old site before it was transported to the new site. With regard to pathogens and things like that, the new site was set up to reduce the possibility of pathogens moving from plant to plant through capillary action. We found we didn't have much problem in that aspect there. But the funny thing is, like with any new site, it brings its own new problems because it's new microclimates. Certain products that we grew wonderfully well at the old site, which was not a great growing site, we have struggled to grow the same plant at the new site and have since decided that we no longer grow those products, even though they are very profitable plants for us. And it's something to consider if you ever do move from one site to another, that don't just assume that everything you grow at the original site, you're going to grow at the new site bigger and better than ever, because it won't go across the board like that. There's certainly products that we're growing now that are much more consistent in their size and quality as opposed to the old site. But there's some product that we just simply couldn't grow as efficiently. No matter what we tried, we just couldn't do it. And I can't put my finger on why. We haven't changed the potting mixes. It's just a strange one. So yeah, it's just one of those little wonders of life. But the funny thing is you'll drop that product and find you'll fill that area with another product that's going to work just as wonderfully well for you. So it's really just a matter of experimenting.
And it's one of the things that I hear from time to time growers saying, if I was to start again, I'd do things differently and this is how I'd do it. The thing is, when you move to a different site, you won't make the same mistakes you did on the first site, but you'll make different mistakes because you simply don't understand what the limitations are of that second site, which is what you're finding there. For whatever reason, it's just not able to grow the same range of plants that you did on the old site. Sometimes those reasons are obvious. In some cases, they're not.
That's what makes it so interesting, going to work each day.
A challenge.
Our water treatment at the nursery requires us injecting sodium hypochlorite, or commonly known as pool chlorine, which we get in liquid form. In 200-litre drums, we have a dosage pump that injects minimal amounts into the supply line, going to our treatment tanks, and it is then aerated as it's dumped into the tanks, which helps to drop the iron and manganese out of the water. We find the levels it drops the iron and manganese to more than sufficient to achieve a really nice clean product on our plants. The previous grower was quite happy to have iron and manganese stains on his foliage plants, which was something that we identified, and we also had dealt with it at the previous site outside Yamundi, and we had been doing a similar water treatment over there for quite a few years and found it to be very efficient. Our treated water storage is currently held in 3 30,000 litre water tanks, and from there we have 2 variable speed pumps that deliver the water out to the nursery. We're currently upgrading all the main lines going out throughout the nursery so that we can irrigate multiple areas at the same time. The main reason I want to be able to do this is through severe weather events like heat stress, I can cool areas down and also often do those cool downs at times when we may not need to get into that area for dispatch or for production. Another reason for being able to water multiple areas at the same time can be for frost control. So they're the 2 main reasons for wanting to increase how I can water multiple areas at the same time. Sometimes there's times where you've had a blowout somewhere and you've got an existing irrigation system running and you might want to run that station to catch up rather than wait for that program to finish over the next, say, hour and a half. It's good if you can put that station back on at the same time and then you can go away and know that everything's back to normal. There's lots of good reasons why to have an ample supply of water being delivered from your pump to your irrigation lines. If you don't need to use it all, that's fine. For us, for cost, when we first started setting up the nursery, we put a 63mm main line around the entire nursery, but we're in the process now of putting an additional 90mm main line as well as the 63mm, so we're going to be delivering a lot more water. And we're actually going to be able to reduce the pressure that we're currently pumping from 5.5 bar down to 4.5 bar. All the pipes and the sprinkler heads are going to be under less pressure. The amount of electricity we're going to be using through our pumps will be less, yet we're going to have a more efficient irrigation system. They're the sort of things you're always looking at tweaking up around the place. A bit laborious putting all this irrigation pipes and fittings out and about. We've got a creek we've got to cross as well, but in the long run it's going to be worth it. Just to touch on the growing media that we use in the nursery, we've been using the same mix now for quite a few years and we're really happy with our mix, so it's not something we want to change up. But over recent times, the only thing we have done, and it was something that I hadn't considered, one because of the expense of it, was to actually incorporate a 6-month fertilizer in with our mix before it was delivered on site. We dibble into a lot of our plants at the moment. All our potting's done manually at this stage, although we are looking at moving into automation as soon as possible, hopefully throughout 2019, well and truly underway by 2020. With the advent of the new irrigation controller, I've had quite a lot of extra programs I've been able to install. Previously, for my outdoor areas, I only had a couple of programs I could have available, which meant I was quite limited in the scheduling and times of each irrigation zone throughout the nursery, especially through the summer months of the year. Now, with the new irrigation controller, I have 5 different outdoor programs I'm currently using on a daily basis. Sometimes I use all 5, but generally on a daily basis through the summer I'm using at least 3. Some programs are designed to actually get water into the potting media, whereas some of the irrigation scheduling is designed simply just to wet down the leaf and increase the humidity around the crop to get it through the hotter parts of the day, rather than dumping a lot of water that's just been lost to evaporation and transpiration loss from the plant. And then we tend to do the heavier watering either early in the morning or much later in the afternoon or early evening. It sits in the pots and the plants tend to take it up. We're finding really good growth results with this, and I'm looking forward to the new water flow meter being connected up to the new controller so I can start seeing what sort of quantities of water we're using each day. Organising crop locations, to me, is probably one of the key factors in the nursery. Putting plants together that have very similar requirements for their watering is key to the design of your nursery. One of the big tricks that I have found over the years was I didn't have sufficient growing areas to be able to group all the plants together that I wanted to have together. So sometimes I'd have plants with low or medium water requirements with plants with high and or medium water requirement. You were either overwatering some crops or underwatering the others. It's probably one of the most important factors in the nursery is to try and group your plants together that have those similar water requirements. And it's something to consider if you feel that your nursery is heading towards a drought, is maybe to look at the plants that might require less water in those oncoming months. And we're fortunate these days that the weather predictions with El Nino tend to be a lot more accurate than they were in the past. There's times where you can, over a period of months, start to increase the number of crops that you're growing that will require less water, which can stretch your water supply out through those drier months of the year as well. So it's something else worth considering.
Having gone through this improvement process, what are the benefits that you've seen coming out of the other end of it?
It's easy to list a few. Straight off the top of the head would be increased crop turnaround, reduced water use, a definite improvement in the quality of the stock, and probably what I've touched on before, in for my own sake, it's easier to manage and operate the system, and you have a bit more time to yourself. It helps improve your lifestyle and not having to worry about things as much. Your mind's a bit freer to think about other things and maybe other improvements you can do around the nursery rather than being stuck back on those basic issues.
When you set out to upgrade the second site, you would have had some expectations of what was going to eventuate. Were there any outcomes that exceeded your expectations?
The turnaround time of some crops has really blown me away compared to the old site. I'm attributing that to a few things. Some of the growing areas are definitely better quality, but I think managing the water supply to those plants has been a key, as well as incorporating fertilizer into our potting mixes has been another real significant way of seeing an increased turnaround in our crops. So I'd say as far as exceeding my expectations, that's a definite. The way the business has grown has probably exceeded my expectations as well. That comes down to the place being more efficient, and that's something that we're continually trying to put into place, is making the nursery more efficient, and it's key to us, and it's one of the reasons that we tend to try and have regular staff meetings to talk about efficiencies and people's roles. And the other thing we try and do is multitask as many of the staff as possible so we can all cover each other's roles in the events of holidays, sickness, God forbid, injury. All those things help make it really easy on a day-to-day basis to be able to manage the nursery, and no matter what's thrown at us, that we can deal with it in an efficient manner, and a stress-free manner is the other way to look at it. It's really important to manage your stress through the nursery, and as business owners, I think it's really important that you can manage the financial side of your stress as well as the entire nursery itself, so that you can be the best possible role model to your staff on a day-to-day basis.
Well, there might have been some outcomes that exceeded your expectations. I'm sure there would have been some unexpected hurdles too, things that you didn't anticipate happening that you had to deal with. Could you outline some of those?
The centre of the nursery is set up on a flat section of land on a hill, and the front and the rear sections of the nursery are downhill from there. Because our water supply is at the top of the hill, when we're pumping down the hill, we pick up quite a lot of pressure down around the back end of the nursery. So managing that extra pressure, there's a pro and a con to it, because it means that I could build some of the irrigated areas much larger than was originally anticipated, and I can run more sprinklers over a greater area with one solenoid valve. That's one of the benefits out of it. I guess having to wind some of the solenoids back down a bit because the excess pressure was causing misting happening on the sprinklers when they were operating. To get the sprinklers to be putting out the right droplet size was something that was really important, and the way that was achieved was through doing plenty of catch can testing and pressure testing of the different growing areas out in that region, and in which case we've done catch can tests pretty much right throughout the entire nursery as we've built the place to try and get the uniformity with our irrigation system. I think that was one unexpected hurdle. The bore pumps was an unexpected hurdle because they were an unknown quantity to us and quality of the water. So until we got there and could start getting water tests done on them and looking at where they were situated and how to be able to pipe them and use them into our treated water, it's a hurdle that we still haven't overcome, to be honest with you. It's something that we can use as a backup water supply. It's going to be a bit costly and a bit laborious to get it happening, but it's something that's on our five-year plan, is to bring that into play. But at this stage, we feel we're using our water supply efficiently enough, and we've been through a few droughts already, and we haven't even gone close to running out of water. I'm expecting with the new irrigation system now that we can be even more efficient, and that's why I'm really looking forward to getting some readings off the new water meter and starting to see what our summertime watering is going to be like. We're fortunate in the fact that the catchment for the two dams is very large, so it doesn't require very much rain for us to see a significant increase in our water supply. The setting up of water treatment and storage tanks we did, we virtually copied what we were doing at the existing site at Yamundi with treating the water with pool chlorine, and I've touched on this earlier on, and aeration. You know, sometimes I've looked back at it, and if I was setting the site up from scratch, I possibly would have set the nursery up different and even considered doing sand filtration as my main water supply. And I really think that would have been a nice cost-effective way to do things and a cheaper long-term option. But the way the layout of the nursery was, it just wasn't quite sufficient to put a tank that was going to be big enough to be able to operate something like that for us at this stage.
In the process of doing the upgrade, what did you find the biggest limitations were?
Time and motion, definitely. It's one thing to know what you want to do, but to be able to physically be able to do it, or even to have the finances to contract people in to do it, money was finite, so we had to do what we could with what funds we had. And basically, we would get one new growing area up and running and try and then spend money on filling that with stock and waiting for the returns to come in from that area to be able to finance the next area we moved on to. As I've touched on before, sometimes having those limitations can be a pro, because it gives you more time to think about the design of the next area before you go in there and start doing it.
And I know in the time that I saw the upgrade progressing, every time I visited, there were big changes made. And I think that was a case of, while there might have been financial constraints and time constraints there, that it was just that you kept at the job all the time. You didn't stop it. You might have slowed down in areas or maybe changed your focus, but there was always change being made. So over a period of time, that adds up to seeing quite big changes over the longer period.
Yes, Lex, I think it's really important to set goals for yourself on a yearly basis as well as a, say, five-yearly basis. I tend to write down the projects I want to achieve in a year, and it's really good for me heading towards Christmas time each year to look back and see it, what we have crossed off that list. And often along the way, a few other jobs crop up that are probably more important, so you tend to tackle them and try and fit them in. And some years I've been pleasantly surprised that I haven't achieved everything that was on my initial list, but what we have achieved has been a really good outcome. Sometimes there were jobs, and as you would have seen, there was quite a bit of vegetation around some of the structures. And for me, just spending a month almost on a chainsaw with a crew of three or four people and removing all the vegetation just to allow aeration and air movement throughout that structure has really seen an improve in the quality of the stock that's coming out of that area, as well as the increased light that it's letting into that structure. things like that aren't necessarily going to cost you a lot of money. So while you're trying to rebuild your funds, there's always jobs you can go and tackle that are culturally important around the nursery for the growing areas. And like I say, it gives you time to have a think about your next move when you do have some money put aside for your next project.
So you're now 5 years into the redevelopment. You've learned a lot along the way. What would you do differently?
It's a good question. Probably not a lot, to be honest with you. I think I needed the time at the site to get to know the site and the microclimates of it and the different structures. Had I had the irrigation controller I have now when I first got there, I probably wouldn't have been able to use it to anywhere near it, what capacity I can use it for now. And there's probably a potential that I might have misused it. It was important to get to the new site and to learn to crawl and to walk before I learned to run. I guess as far as doing things differently, I can't really say there's a real lot that I would have done differently. I think the new site's had enough challenges there that for me as a person that, yeah, I like to have a few challenges in my life. It's offered me more than enough to keep me out of mischief. I'm sure for the years to come, I'm still going to have many, many more challenges that hopefully I'll rise to the occasion. But in the meantime, I'm just going to enjoy the journey.
You talk about the plans that you make for the next 12 months, and I'm sure you've got a 5- and a 10-year plan of where you'd like to see the business. Can you talk to us a little bit about your future plans for the nursery?
Yeah, well, we definitely want to increase the size of the growing area throughout the nursery. Fortunately, the site lends itself for a bit more expansion yet, and there's still at least 2, possibly 3 areas we'll consider expanding into. I'd say we could still increase the nursery by about 15% as far as the size of the growing area goes, which I believe would put the business in good stead to be a major player for years to come in the nursery industry throughout Australia. That's kind of the future plans. We're also looking at definitely moving towards automation with our potting process. That's a priority for us, and that's something we intend tackling this year. In fact, we're starting to concrete an area for a new potting media bin down at the rear at the nursery. That first stage of that is underway at the moment. Recycling irrigation water is something I'd love to be able to achieve. Unfortunately, the site doesn't lend itself to being able to do it in a cost-effective way, but it's something we would still like to implement in some areas in the future, and that would help to drought-proof the nursery in the future as well. I also see it as an important thing to be offering the environment. Solar power is another really important thing that I want to see happen at the nursery. At the moment, we lease the site, and the existing owners can't justify the expense of getting solar power on there because they don't intend to own it long enough to be able to reap the rewards. So it's something that with us buying the site from the existing owners, we will be looking at initiating in the future as well. Doing more work and studies with using our predators throughout the nursery has been really important to us, and it's something that we really want to move towards in a bigger way. We see that's really the future for the nursery industry, is moving away from the heavy chemicals that have been used throughout the years and providing a more environmentally friendly produced product. And we're happy to sell our products with some pests and predators on them, and that way you're creating your own microclimate and predators in your own environment when you get them. Now, when I say that, that's more for plants for outdoor use, not so much for plants that are going to indoor areas. The other thing I'd probably like to do is we create a new dispatch area. Currently, our dispatch area is also our production area, and when dispatch is as busy as it is most weeks of the year, it can reduce our possibility to produce plants because of the space that's being taken up with plants waiting to be shipped out of the nursery. There's some of the important things. And then keeping up with your regular practices of monitoring water quality, chlorine levels in your water, and regular testing of your growing areas. With us putting new irrigation systems into areas and
reducing pressures on pumps in the future, it'll be important to go back and recheck the pressure that the solenoid valves are putting the water out at, and doing catch can testing again on a regular basis to make sure that the water's being put out as efficient as possible. The nursery industry started to develop irrigation, drainage and energy management plans, or IDEMPs, and you were one of the businesses that we involved in that process. And what these IDEMPs were about was having a document that contained all of the information about irrigation and drainage of a particular site. How did you go about using that information from doing that IDEMP, both in developing the site but also in the long-term management of it?
The information from the IDEMP was good. It showed up straight away some of the limiting factors with that particular nursery site compared to other people's nursery sites. And what it really drove home is how individual any nursery site is for the owner or operator of that nursery. And each site will always have limitations, and whether it's neighbours' boundary lines and vegetation that exists on those areas, or whether it's access roads around the nursery, water supply, runoff water, straight away it starts identifying all the sorts of issues that you can or can't deal with in some way, shape or form. For us, it was easy for us to then identify what we needed to concentrate on, and to some things that were completely out of our control that we could have very little control over. So to not consider them at this stage, so we could focus on what we could change. And I think that's actually a good way to look at your life in general, is look at the things you can change in life. And if you can't change something, don't let it bother you too much. Concentrate on what you can change and make the best out of that. That's kind of how we approached what we did around the nursery. And so for installing any irrigation systems, where we could put the optimum spacing of sprinklers in an area, we definitely strive to achieve that, and if not, as close as possible to it. And sometimes, even by not being able to achieve optimum spacing of sprinklers, we found that by reducing or increasing the amount of pressure and water flow out of that irrigation system, we could actually tweak up the uniformity of that area so as to achieve a much more even crop growing area. Just little things like that were really important, just to look at each individual area and concentrate on each one as its own little site and its own little nursery, and get that one operating as efficient as possible. The IDEMP was really good because of the catch can tests as well, because it showed throughout any irrigation area you'll tend to have, there's nowhere that has 100% uniformity, and it showed up where there might be small little pockets that might be much drier than other areas throughout that growing area, and often they were underneath a sprinkler itself. Knowing that was really important information for us to be able to select the stock that went into those areas, or for the placing out of product. The IDEMP itself, it was invaluable for the information it gave us, and it definitely slowed down how I approached going about building areas and then considering what sprinklers I might use in those areas in the future.
One of the big things that I think came out of the process of developing these IDEMPs was a thing we call a water balance, which is looking at water security. And what that did was it identified that in really dry years that water supply could be an issue. How did you use that information in developing a strategy for the long term to ensure that your water supplies were going to be adequate for the level of production you were envisaging?
For the short term, the nursery wasn't as large as it is today, and we went through a few droughts, and with the initial irrigation controller, I was quite limited in what programs I could put on it. I actually found I was using more water back then than I believe I'm using now to water a larger area. That was something that the IDEMP information made me aware of, so that I found a way of watering my product, not necessarily to get optimum growth, but to maintain survival of the product and to maintain a large percentage that was still in a saleable condition. Some products I just had to let go by, but know that I could still propagate from them or re-wet them after a period of a wet season might arrive and get them back up to a saleable level, or quality, I should say. I guess it just made me more aware without being alarmed over it, and learning how to stretch the finite resource that we have, which is water.
Okay, Kieran, well, thanks for spending the time giving some insight into what you've done at Big Leaf Wholesale Nurseries. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Lex, and hopefully anyone that listens to this podcast will gain at least one insight out of it that will be a benefit to them. And for those of you who don't know me, I'm quite an approachable person, and if there's any information I can ever assist you with, by all means, get on the blower and give me a call.
This podcast was produced using funding from the Queensland Department of Natural Resources, Mines and Energy under the Farm Water Futures Project. For further information, contact the Nursery and Garden Industry Queensland.